We've talked about the philosophical errors of the Enlightenment that led to the destruction of Christendom. We've talked about the false ideology behind democratic republicanism that's tearing the moral fabric of our society apart. Now I would like to talk about the event that made the implementation of both of these experiments possible. Individualism, and the idea that a person's personal opinion can outrank what has been passed down through the ages, is institutionalized by the Protestant Reformation. Yes, this was as much a political movement as it was a spiritual one, if not more. The political ramifications of the Protestant Reformation cannot be understated. If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my video last week and the recording of this one are Roy, John Wagner, Jonathan Eckhold, and John Wagner again. You can also like and follow us on Facebook and X. The links for both of those are also in the description. Clement V was not crowned Pope in Rome, but rather in Lyon, France, due to the tension between the papacy and the French crown. He later settled in Avignon, a region in France, to further good relations with the crown, and so began the Avignon Papacy, which lasted from 1309 to 1377, when the papacy was not in Rome, but in France. At the conclave of 1378, a Roman mob surrounded the Vatican demanding that an Italian be elected pope and that he stay in Rome. The conclave complied and elected Urban VI. However, later, a majority of the cardinals felt that the election was invalid due to the immense pressure of the mob, so they elected another pope who continued the papacy in Avignon. Later, the Council of Pisa, which was meant to solve the issue of having two popes, elected a third pope. And so for almost 40 years, the Catholic Church had not one, but two and then three popes, one in Rome, one in Avignon, and one in Pisa. This is called the Great Western Schism. The issue was settled at the Council of Constance in 1417, where the Roman line was recognized and the other two lines declared anti-popes. Now, you might say, what does all this have to do with the Protestant Reformation? Actually, a lot. You see, another matter was settled at the Council of Constance. The Bohemian reformer John Huss, who had similar views to Martin Luther and the support of Bohemian nobility. The council called John Huss before it, promising that nothing would happen, but when he arrived, they arrested him, put him on trial, convicted him, and executed him. Martin Luther explicitly invoked Huss portraying himself as Huss' successor against a corrupt hierarchy, fueling propaganda. Huss' execution symbolized for Protestants the church's abuse of power. And more importantly, when the matter of the papacy was settled, St. Peter's Basilica had been neglected and was in desperate need of repair. So the church decided to build a new one, offering an indulgence to anyone who would donate to the effort. Corrupt clergy and preachers used this as an opportunity to enrich themselves, causing Martin Luther to nail his 95 theses on the door of Castle Church on All Hallows Eve. This, of course, sparked the Protestant Reformation. Over the next several decades, the kingdoms of Europe took sides. Some became Protestant, while others remained Catholic. A series of wars broke out between Catholics and Protestants, the most significant being the Thirty Years' War, which ended with the Peace of Westphalia. This agreement established the right of rulers to determine their territory's religion, while granting limited protections to religious minorities within the Holy Roman Empire. And so the conditions for what would later be called religious liberty were born. Not even in the Protestant countries was freedom to choose acceptable prior to this. Martin Luther imprisoned Anabaptists and told the nobles to kill the peasants when they rose up. John Calvin executed anyone who disagreed with him on doctrine, and Catholics didn't get freedom in the UK until 1829. Today, the Protestant Reformation is largely seen with sympathy, people reacting to church abuses. And while abuses did occur, they are largely overblown and misrepresented. Indulgences are said to be about buying salvation when they're not. The Reformation did not get rid of church abuses. The Protestant churches have their own problems with abuse. But the Catholic Church has a built-in mechanism to deal with abuses, authoritative ecumenical councils. It may take time for them to deal with it, but it does get dealt with. The Council of Trent is proof of this. The Church reformed itself in response to legitimate concerns brought up by the Reformers. Protestant churches have no such mechanism. Even the councils they do have carry no weight. Rather, what happens is people go off and start their own churches. This has led to literally thousands of different Protestant denominations. And since no one group has the right to rule over the others, equality must be in place politically. And so here comes democracy. This, more than anything, led to the creation of the United States and led to the errors of freedom of religion and separation of church and state in the West, where truth is treated as if it is merely one opinion among many. Today, the idea of church oversight of civil government seems repugnant, yet our society is in moral freefall without it. When I point this out to people, when I tell them the moral degradation of our society is due to lack of church oversight, the answer I usually get is this: well, the problem is, which church gets to be in charge? Sorry, but the problem stems ultimately from the Protestant Reformation. It was Protestants that insisted on the conditions that created the moral chaos. Therefore, Protestantism is the problem. The answer is to return to unity under the Catholic Church. The Protestant Reformation shattered the unity of Christendom. What once was a unified Christian civilization became fractured into competing sects, each claiming to have the correct interpretation of Scripture, each rejecting the authority that had preserved and passed down that Scripture for 1,500 years. The individualism unleashed by the Reformation, the idea that each person can interpret divine truth for themselves, didn't stop at theology. It bled into philosophy, politics, and culture. If each man could be his own pope in matters of faith, why not his own king in matters of state? Why not his own authority in matters of truth? This is the direct line from the Protestant Reformation to the Enlightenment errors, to democratic individualism, to the moral chaos we see today. If Martin Luther gets credit for setting into motion such things as freedom of religion, freedom of speech and expression, which are largely seen as good things among Protestants, although these things have been rightly condemned by the Catholic Church, then he must also receive blame for communism, Darwinism, Freemasonry, atheism, and all these other things that came into being as a result of the Enlightenment that Protestants agree are evil. The thousands of Protestant denominations, each contradicting each other, stand as evidence of what happens when human pride replaces divine authority. Until my next video, God bless.